Good to have you along. Yours truly, Ron Stafford, keeping you company on another exciting musical edition into Broadcast Excellence. Yes, I just borrowed from Rush Limbaugh. Thank you very much. We call it Duncan's Garage, where we talk with local and national musicians. And this time we're going local, ladies and gentlemen. Found this gentleman sitting across from me at the studio board here in my usual search of Maryland musicians, both Annapolis and Baltimore. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's sort of old school rock and roll, but he's kind of a new school, but I really can't typify him. And I don't want to typify him because he has his own unique style. Mark Hopkins, welcome to Duncan's Garage, sir.
Thanks.
Good to have you.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
No problem. Let's get this out there. Your style, if you would term it, because, I mean, you've been playing for, what, 20-some years?
Oh, man, yeah. I'm 38.
Okay.
So I'm not a spring chicken, but I've probably 25 years I've been playing guitar.
Okay.
Something like that.
How would you describe your own unique style of what you do?
I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, I listen to so many different styles of music that I feel like it all boils down to me trying to emulate those artists but failing at emulating those artists.
Okay.
So it sounds like my own thing, but like...
Okay.
You know, I grew up, my uncle exposed me to the Beatles when I was very young.
Right.
Which, that is, you know, a typical thing you'll hear a musician say.
Right.
But it's true. I mean, there's a reason the Beatles are who they are, and they're timeless, and they will be for the rest, until this planet blows up.
Absolutely.
Everyone will know who the Beatles are.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it starts off there, and then it bleeds into my older siblings exposing me to the Grateful Dead. And then it leads into my older brother, who is the middle child, exposing me to Fish, which leads into me discovering, you know, a lot of other stuff. But what really was the catalyst and what really propelled me into wanting to learn the instrument,
yes,
was Pearl Jam.
Gotcha.
So I was in one of my good friend's bedrooms playing NBA Jams on his Sega Genesis, and he was like, I'm gonna put some music on. And he put on Nirvana's Nevermind,
uh-huh,
which totally blew my mind. And then he was like, oh, if you like this, you'll really like this. And he put 10 on. And I stopped playing the game, and I like gave my controller to another friend, and I just sat and listened to the whole record.
Yeah.
And I was always attracted to music my whole life. I mean, my parents have video of me as like a 2-year-old singing like the Dukes of Hazzard theme song,
uh-huh,
you know, because like I was just attached to music. Yeah. Just early on, I was really into music, and but that record totally changed my life. 10, and like to this day, I mean, I have a Pearl Jam sticker on my truck because they are the reason I play music. You know, that being said, throughout high school and playing in a jam band and touring extensively with a jam band throughout high school and college, you know, after that I got exposed to neo-soul like D'Angelo. And then I got hip to Johnny Lang's record Turnaround, which totally, those two albums were like pivotal shifting moments in my career and in my life, musically speaking.
Uh-huh.
Those two records were kind of pushed on me by professors because they knew what I was into, and they're like, you're going to love this stuff and you're going to eat it up. When I heard that stuff, man, like my whole focus shifted from like noodle fest jam band guitar player to like, I want to like really write some deep, thick groove oriented music.
Yeah.
So in a roundabout way of what kind of stuff do I think, it's groove based. I would say it's groove based music.
Okay.
It always starts with a groove for me. It always starts with a feel.
Your groove is just phenomenal. We've been playing, you know, Stay With Me, Na Na Na, or, you know, Flip That.
Mm-hmm.
And then Till I Say So. Once you're in it, you're in it. It's you.
Thanks, man.
You take us for a ride, and the ride's fun.
Thanks, man. Yeah, no, it's really, and a lot of that comes from that music and comes from some of my favorite guitarists, like Wayne Krantz. He's a jazz fusion guy, and he is, you know, it's almost like his improvisational approach is rhythmic, not melodic.
Interesting.
In a way. And for me, that's really interesting and very engaging. And I play drums, too. So a lot of times I will sit behind my kit and I will work on a groove and I will write from there. You know, a lot of the best stuff that I write comes from me beatboxing in the shower and like having some melodic idea with that rhythmic idea. So that's how it happens organically. So, I mean, I would just say, I mean, it's groove-oriented music. I try to get booty shaken, you know?
Yeah, I know. Are you born and raised in the Maryland area? Where exactly are you from, and how did you come to Maryland if you were out of state?
I am born and raised in Bel Air, Maryland.
Okay.
My parents are both from Baltimore. We grew up, I mean, all my siblings, I have an older sister who's 8 years older than me and a brother who's 4 years older than me. I'm the baby. But I grew up there. They grew up in the city a little bit, but my whole life was there. And then now I live in northern Baltimore County. So
you're married and have a daughter and a puppy that you're sort of interested in, but not really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I might get in trouble.
11 years happy married, 6-year-old kid. Yeah, I've got she's in first grade, and yeah, we got a puppy. He's driving me crazy, but he's cool.
Wait till you get to fifth grade.
I can wait.
Yeah. One of my fifth grade daughters is doing cursive. I'm thinking, okay, I can handle that, but it's just, it's the spelling test and everything else. But it went, by the time you get to fifth grade, they don't really tell you, you know, you have to look in your, in the agenda what the homework is. They don't really, you know, I don't have any homework. I'm good.
Yeah.
So you have to really get on them to make sure that,
yeah. That's already happening a little
bit. Oh, I know.
And
I
it's,
know.
It, I'm surprised at the amount of homework that these kids have in first grade and kindergarten.
It's like, ridiculous.
Are you for real, dude?
It's like, ridiculous. Is this always been a part-time thing? Have you done music full-time? When did you actually first start going out on your own, as it were?
I mean, you know, I played, the first time I performed in front of anyone was we did Smells Like Teen Spirit in my seventh grade talent show, which was, you know, at the time in 1992 or whatever that was. That was hip.
That was hip, yeah.
But so I did that year. The next year we did a Spin Doctors tune and Metallica song. So,
oh, my word.
Yeah, it's been interesting. But when I really started playing professionally was high school. You know, in front of people and making money doing it.
Yes.
For a period of time, my band was full time and we were touring and we were, you know, I had an older band called Tribe of Ben, which was, you know, we did well. We'd sell out the record theater. We would, you know, be touring up and down the East Coast. Eventually we split ways and I kind of went off on my own. Now it's kind of a balance of like weekend warrior, doing stuff like this, getting into coffee gigs, getting into songwriting showcases.
You were telling me about a songwriting showcase before we started here. Just those are phenomenal and a learning experience that you really can't get anywhere else.
It's a great networking opportunity and it led to me starting to get things placed in film and TV. Which is another great supplemental source of income.
Good old residuals and everything.
Yeah, but you know that and performing live is what I'm most passionate about. The TV film thing is cool and it's a challenge to me because it's very specific and it's a timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, hey, we need this track by tomorrow.
Right.
And it's like, oh, okay.
Exactly.
You know, and it needs to be this, and it needs to be this, and it needs to be this BPM, and it needs to, you know,
oh, I know.
Be this long. So it's, that to me, I enjoy the challenge of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy having a deadline. I feel like I write really well under a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
So it's those things right now for me. And I'm trying to like get out of doing the bar scene as much. I cut way back from playing 10 times a month to playing 4 times a month.
Okay.
On purpose. So I had more time for writing, more time for family, more time for...
Well, you have a full-time job too.
I do. Yeah, I do. So that's hard to like, you know, come home at 3 a.m. and then wake up at 6 with the puppy and with the kid, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I'm trying to get back into... you know, getting into the original scene and playing 8x10 gigs and playing, you know, wherever else, soundstage or wherever I can get on opening slots.
Yeah. So where do you play right now? Is this Baltimore, Annapolis, D.C., as far as the main triangle and the DMV, as they say, and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. When did the band come into play? When did the hotel become established?
The hotel came about when I was at school in Boston.
Okay.
And then when I moved back here, obviously the players that were playing with me aren't with me, but I just brought the name back. I never really totally liked having my name on the band. It always felt a little narcissistic and megalomaniacish. But for me, it was a way to still connect with the people that were, you know, interested in what I was doing with Tribe of Ben.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the name that was connected with that and just, you know, people still kind of keeping in the loop with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really, I mean, and it's a power trio. It's two other really talented musicians. All three, most of the time I have a roster of drummers, but most of the time all three people sing. So 3-part harmony stuff.
Nice.
Very wide array of when we do cover gigs of the kind of stuff that we're playing. Cause right. I don't like to play the typical stuff that people play.
Exactly.
Which works against me and for me. But, you know, I'm going to want to play an obscure Brothers Landreth tune. You know, I'm going to want to do stuff like that because that's the music that inspires me.
That's exactly right.
So,
let's do song number one, sir, and which selection will you be playing for us today?
This is called What's Your Name?
Okay. Mark Hopkins.
What's your name? 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 My way to the city law, fresh off the rebound train. Gonna cloud my brain with whiskey, celebrate with some cold champagne. A slave to an evil woman who could not tell the truth. With a body like hers, she was sweeter than honey, and I can't control my sweet tooth. Do thou grounds against my eye, yeah. Got a tattoo of a pistol on. If I get my mind is, well, my mind is dirty like my dishes. What's your name? 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 Yeah, yeah. On my way to the center of a stage for a front row seat of bliss. With your high heeled shoes and your skirt so tight, I never resist. I'm a sucker for a tan line and those natural imperfections. But you're all that stayed at the pole so high, got another but bad intention. Lay your kiss upon my lips. But did I even ask for a tip? Where your love is? Your love is, and your love is dirty like my dishes. What's your name? 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 Don't care if you got a boyfriend, girl. I don't care if you got a girlfriend. Don't care if you got a boyfriend, girl. Don't care if you got a girlfriend. Don't care if you got a boyfriend, girl. Don't care if you got a girlfriend. I don't care if you got a boyfriend, girl. Don't care if you got a girlfriend. What's your name? 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 What's your name?
It just rocks. I don't even know how else to say it. It's just, there's two things. The little bit of the chord key change right in the middle, and then you just going to town on the wood. I mean, it's just that to me, it's the best parts of the song, because I didn't see that little key change, little, you know, again,
modulation. I'm not,
yes, yeah, modulation, thank you. I knew I was going to screw that up, so that was like, okay, and here we go, you know, and then the wood and the tap, oh my word, it was just fantastic.
Thanks, man.
It was just rocking. So how long ago did you write that? Is that one of your more popular songs that you do out in the gigs and the clubs and all that kind of thing?
It is, for sure.
Yeah,
I wrote that in 2011, maybe.
Okay.
And that's on my last record. That's on my last record called Room Service.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly enough, though, what's weird is like I thought that was going to be the one that all the radio stations were going to play in Baltimore.
Yes.
Until I Say So was the one.
Oh, my word.
And I know, I get it. Like, I know, like, the whole gospel, like, choir thing at the end is rad and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I feel like I'm proud, very proud of that song. But I was like, man, that's so weird. All the ones that you always think are going to be the hooky ones don't turn out to be that.
Well, it's the same thing. Like, we get CDs, you know, I get CDs across my desk all the time. And it always says on there, you know, suggested airplay and, you know, this cut's clean and, you know, this one's been approved by FCC and stuff. Those are okay. I want to put on Dragon Digital Radio the songs that are not getting, you know, a bunch of airplay,
right.
You know, and I'll do that.
Right.
You know, and, you know, thankfully I have the freedom, you know, from Chrissy Vader, you know, to do just that. It was just phenomenal. Do you enjoy doing more with yourself, with the band, or is it a combo as far as, do you look more for those shows with, I mean, obviously three is better than one, but it's just, talk about the, you know, playing with the band versus going solo. I mean, obviously there's pros and cons to everything.
Yeah, for sure. I think if I had to like choose one, if someone was holding a gun to my head and was like, you must choose
yeah. now,
or if they're like, you must go to the dark side or the light side,
that's right.
If the band is the dark side, I'm gonna go dark side all day, because ultimately, like, I love playing acoustic guitar,
right?
But I just started, so I'm not playing in standard tuning anymore.
Talk more about that. You were mentioning that to me.
So I'm playing in open C, which is crazy. It's very deep. It's very low. But it's tuned so you can play slide. I've been working on a lot of slide stuff. And I was very inspired originally years ago by Derek Trucks, and I tried to switch to open E, and it just didn't stick for some reason. I don't know what it was about it that didn't stick. But then, like, you know, Joey Landreth, who's a big influence of mine from the Brothers Landreth, he plays in open C. I actually study with Joey. Skype lessons about once a month, and I was talking to him about it, and he was like, you should try it, you know, just give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
It requires crazy piano wire on my guitars.
I can imagine.
It's very thick strings, because since you're, you know, the tension is so light, you know, loose on the strings, you need thicker strings to, you know, give it more beef.
Right.
But so I have been enjoying playing those electric gigs more because of that.
Okay.
Because of the challenge, because I've been working on it for about a month. And last month, I was like, I started it last month. And I was like, my goal, which was 2 weeks ago when I had the gig with the band, is to play a whole set of music on that instrument. And I brought my standard tuning guitar and I brought my open C guitar.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to do a whole set, have two gigs this week with the band. I'm going to do one set. Now my next goal is to do all night on that instrument. This is the first time I've done it acoustically. But I'll probably, we'll see. We'll see if it works. If I can do three hours on that guitar, that will be, first of all, I mean, my calluses have calluses.
Oh, I know. I can just imagine. I mean, you're it's like, hi, honey, how are you? You know, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, crazy. But it's a lot of fun. So, I mean, playing electric right now is where it's at for me, because I've been really digging, you know, challenging myself and playing in that tuning.
Cool. This leads me to my next question. Then we'll hear song number two. Talk about these videos on your website. You call them affectionately your woodshedders.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the woodshedders.
So basically, my day job is working for the Berklee College of Music for their online program. And years ago, that's maybe 2011 or 12, I've been with them for almost 8 years. They asked me, like, would you be interested in doing like a vlog, like a blog? Originally a blog. And I was like, how about a vlog? I'd love to shoot video with these. So I started doing it, and it was called the Guitar Woodshed.
Okay.
And it was basically quick, like 5 to 10 minute lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Which is something that I used to teach, so I like doing it. And I'm a little bit nerdy about guitar, so, you know.
I've sensed that, but that's okay.
So, like,
it's a good thing.
Coming across, you know, to people and trying to help people, I've always really enjoyed the feeling of seeing somebody kind of inspired and seeing somebody who's going to work on something. And, you know, that was the best thing about being a teacher when I was teaching, is just seeing the progress. And
absolutely.
And this, I guess, this medium, you don't get to see it, but you know, you get comments and people contact you and say, hey, can you try doing a video like this? And
right.
I just haven't done them in a while. It's just, my life just got crazy busy. And
do you want to start doing it again?
I thought about it. I was thinking about it on the way here, actually, because there's some, with this open sea stuff, I've got a lot of fodder for
more,
like,
lessons from
frustrating
Mark.
People.
That's
and,
right.
And you know what I mean? So it's, I don't know. We'll see. If I have time, I want to get back into it for
cool.
sure.
Very cool. Song numero dos, sir, is what?
Okay. This is called Girl from New Orleans. This is a brand new song.
Very cool.
So,
Mark Hopkins on Duncan's Garage.
Woke up in a bad place, my back against the wall, my head full of hurt and alcohol. I spent all my greenbacks on a dame from New Orleans. She burned just like whiskey in a barrel full of gasoline. But I'm tired trying to make two wrongs right. She was a sweetheart date, if you can't relate, gotta get you a girl, yeah, from New Orleans. Been up all evening throwing those snake-eyed evil dice. Nobody told me about those bayou girls wearing skirts so tight. Oh, next was a bottle of bourbon and a fist upon my face. It was her man, he had a plan. It was my life, he wanted erased. And I'm tired, yeah, and trying to make two wrongs right. Oh, she was a sweetheart date, if you can't relate, got against you, girl, yeah, New Orleans. Well, I should have known by now, yeah. Spent all night in the New Orleans ER. My heart broke and my head cracked open like pistachios on the floor. Thought she was an angel surfing on the bayou, swinging on a star. I think twice before I get the inclination on vacation in a French quarter bar. But I'm tired, baby, and trying to make two wrongs right. There was a sweetheart date, if you can't relate, you gotta get you, girl, yeah, New Orleans. From New Orleans, babe. From New Orleans, babe. From New Orleans.
Man, oh man. I actually knew a girl from New Orleans. I mean, they got some spice down there. They really do. That's all I'm going to say. So when you're writing music, we've got about 4 minutes left. A lot to cover here in the next 4 minutes.
All right.
Do you get the lyrics first? Do you get the melody first? Just take apart that song. How did that come to you?
That was very organic. I had the vibe that... I had that thing.
Right.
Now, granted, like I said, I'm playing an open C now, so it's totally different.
Exactly.
When I originally wrote it, it was in the key of A, now it's in the key of F.
Oh, my word.
So, yeah, I basically had that groove, like I was talking about earlier.
Right.
It was the groove, and I had this story in my head about this guy that was just in New Orleans and had a rough night. And it all comes back to a woman, of course.
It always comes back to a woman.
That's really how it happened. It was the music that inspired the story in a way.
Okay.
And then the story kind of just led its way through the song, I guess.
Very cool. So, very cool. Yeah. You want to promote some upcoming gigs solo with the band? We've got a couple minutes left.
So I am every month, the last Thursday of every month.
Okay.
I am at the Admiral's Cup with my band in Fells Point.
Nice. That's coming up in a couple of weeks from when we're recording this.
Yeah. Okay. So fourth Thursday of every month. Now, this is funny because I'm not there this month because I'm going to be away.
Okay.
But basically, you can catch me there every. And then my website's markhopkinsmusic.com. On Facebook, if you look up Mark Hopkins in the Hotel, I promote my shows mostly on there. No one goes to websites anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, I know.
But this Friday, which won't matter, because
well, it's still the podcast. But
every first, you know about the Lock Bar downtown?
I've heard about it.
So Lock Bar, I'm there the first Wednesday and the third Thursday or third Friday of every month.
You're trying to keep your schedule and you're straight in your head with everything else.
It's tough.
Yeah.
But then the second Friday, like this Friday, I'll be at Conrad's. My buddies have Conrad's Crab House up in Perry Hall, and I'll be there. So it's the second Friday of every month.
Are these all solo gigs, or are these gigs with the band?
The band gigs are going to be the Fells Point stuff.
Okay.
Lock Bar sometimes a duo, mostly solo.
Okay.
Conrad's is always solo. So actually, you know what? I had a drummer with me last time there. That was fun. You never know with me.
Very cool. Last question. We've got about 2 minutes. See if you can squeeze this one in.
Yeah.
Are you glad for what you're doing? Is this really what you thought it was going to be when you started playing Smells Like Teen Spirit in seventh grade?
I would say that music is a huge passion of mine, and it will always be. No matter what I'm doing, it will always be what I want to be doing, as long as it's involved with me picking up a guitar. If I don't have a guitar in my hands, like if I'm on vacation for a week and I don't have one, I kind of freak out. Like,
it's a drug, but it's a drug in a good way.
Yes, and it's, you know, it's become, especially with learning this new tuning, it's become an obsession with, you know, relearning the instrument and not resting on my laurels and all the stuff that I normally am comfortable doing on the neck. I don't want to do that anymore. I want to be musical.
Yeah.
And I think forever and ever, you know, anyone that is a musician that is very serious about it will tell you you're always a student of music forever.
Oh, absolutely.
Until the day I die, I will be.
What does your wife and daughter think about your playing? Are they okay with this? Some musicians I've interviewed saying, you know, it's just what he does, and that's okay, and that's his thing.
Oh, no, they're super supportive. My wife has always been supportive and really believes in me. So,
nice.
You know, yeah, no, I have a great family.
Very, very cool. Again, the website is markhopkinsmusic.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. Mark, thanks so much for coming today. Wonderful day. Just absolutely fantastic.
Thanks, man.
MarkHopkinsMusic.com. That's going to do it for me, Ron Stafford. Thanking you so very much for being right there. Until next time, make it a great day and even better tomorrow.